Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Jones Chronicles. I'm your host, Christina. We are coming off of a historic event, the eclipse. I was able to see it yesterday in all of its natural beauty. Well, not visually see it, but you know, I had the solar glasses. It got dark. Seeing the sun come back, what was the red light coming off of the eclipse? I need NASA to explain that to me because I don't know what that was. My daughter came in talking about, oh, I think my eyes are damaged. I'm like, okay, hypochondriac. She heard about one person damaging their eyes, and considering I know I looked at it probably longer than she actually visually looked at it. My eyes are fine. You're fine. But yeah, it was lovely for once Cleveland being the place to be for something that doesn't involve the police. Speaking of those boys in blue, P. Diddy seems to be in some trouble as more and more accusations are starting to pile up around him, the way in which Harvey Weinstein went down, of sex trafficking, sexual assault. He already had to drop a lot of money towards a lawsuit that he said is absolutely bogus as he was signing the check.
That motherfucker guilty.
And of course, as the evidence begins to become unmanageable, a lot of people are distancing themselves. His empire is collapsing. And while some black and brown people might feel a certain amount of targeting towards him,
we do not care.
Man, fuck that bitch. He been a bitch for a minute and a half now. Just the rest of the world that was in the shade is catching up. Notice that nobody celebrates P. Diddy. In at least in the black community where I'm from, in any capacity, because we know our people enough to know when things are whispered and things are side-eyed in a manner like, I know you saw that. Yeah, I did see that. We ain't gonna speak about it, but we both understand certain things. So none of the things that are coming out, well, except for the Cassie bit, that was shocking to me, even though it shouldn't have been. And if you remember, Cassie, even at the time, she looked like she was fucking 14. So when you actually, that's why when people would be like, oh, y'all pay attention and analyze too much. It's like, no, we pay attention because we know what the fuck is going on. And y'all don't want to acknowledge it because you over there trying to celebrate or stand on your own platform using them as your example. But when he was running the fuck around at the Oscars and he don't even got a fucking movie, clearly, this is a dude in places that he's hustling. And I don't know why we should at all, like with Bill Cosby, try to hashtag fake support. Even though I don't see that many people supporting him, if I'm being quite frank. I've seen more Caucasian people supporting Diddy than I have our own. Everyone's just like, yep, glad they finally got that bitch too.
You were the clock that was ticking in my home. Changed my state of mind.
Ladies and gentlemen,
love so hard to find.
We
got him. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone, and another one gone. Another one bites the dust.
For every case that the police is doing their job, there's always a case of the police or things happening where you're just questioning, what fucking century are we in that these type of things are still occurring? One incident being the case of a 10-year-old boy who was detained and taken to jail for public urination. Now, of course, peeing in public, yeah, not something that is cool to do, considering that is a body part that everybody don't want to see just casually passing by. Point taken. However, we're talking about a 10-year-old whose name is Quantavius Eason. He was pissing behind his mother's car. The police saw them do it, or saw him do it. She told the police officer. She asked her son, why did you do that? He said, Mom, my sister said they ain't got a bathroom in there. I was like, well, you know better, or you knew better. You should have came and asked me if they had a restroom. She thought that the son was going to be given a warning. Like, clearly, yes, I get it, him being chastised. But then detaining him, putting him in the back of the car, and then him thinking that he's going to jail, then taking him to jail where he was held in a cell at 10 years old is a little overboard in response to essentially a child who couldn't hold their urine anymore because a restroom was not available.
What kind of bullshit is this?
While that case involving a minor and possible racial discrimination can be attributed to the response from the police, in the next case, I will leave it up to you to decide if the response was appropriate, because we've all seen food fights in movies and they're always portrayed as this fun, rather harmless, juvenile thing, and maybe they'll be suspended from school a day or two, whoever started it. And that's a huge maybe, right? Or most often you hear that they go to detention, but not in West Hill High School. Because 10 high schoolers set off a food fight at lunchtime. One kid chucked a full can of soda at a school resource officer's head, and a teacher was quote unquote trampled.
Whoa. Oh. Oh. He needs some milk.
They said another teacher was trampled by a mass of students, and that the guy that got nailed in the head with the soda can is recovering at home. And as someone who's been nailed in the head with a full can of soda before because someone don't know how to toss correctly, that shit hurts. So the students were 15 to 17, and they were charged with inciting a riot, I believe. So, this happened in Connecticut. Do you think this was an appropriate response or overkill? And if so, blackercouch@gmail.com. Respond with your answer there. I think that between 15 and 17, yeah, no, you definitely know better. You definitely... If it was my child, she would have been making her way towards the fucking exit quickly. Very, very quickly. Because it don't matter. TV is not real life. And I thought, you know, this is one of those cases where everyone is reacting, saying that the school is overreacting. I'll let you decide on the disproportionate responses on social media. Of course, you know, Quantavious's mother is consulting legal counsel. The true meaning behind the song Born in the USA, it's hilarious to me how certain people in this country will disassociate something from its intention if it meets the goals of whatever platform they're trying to push, whatever inceptionalized idea. So Born in the USA has been a national anthem at every event, everywhere. The strange thing is, it has nothing to do with national pride.
White people be like,
you're so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
It has everything to do with Vietnam veterans coming home to a world in which they're being saluted as patriarchs, but they're not. Those people that came home didn't think they were fighting for a patriotic war. There's a glorification of the army, but they're dealing with the emotional and economic hardship and fallout of that war. And yet we're playing it in stadiums and football games like, this just means we're happy to be born in the USA because the rest of the lyrics don't matter. And it reminds me very much so of the Bible. Everyone likes to sit in church and have the parts of the Bible read to them, but no one actually goes in there and starts reading it for themselves to comprehend what the words actually are. And that reminds me of a quote that I recently saw. Who said it? Napoleon Bonaparte. History is simply a set of lies that everyone agreed upon. And that's true. It may be unreliable, that source, by the way. That's what was quoted as, but it's not set in stone. But I do think it is relevant because even how we teach history, we keep so much of the relevant parts out of it. It's like, oh yeah, there was this Western side over here, and then we'll skip over here to the Greeks, and then we'll get the Romans. And then we skip every other bit of history in between then. And it's crazy because there's a lot of history that we are just now beginning to reconcile as being really, particularly, and now that we see it happening in real time with the book banning, deliberately kept from the populace to educate them on having a more uniform and widespread idea to maybe dissipate a little bit of that identity, egotistical identity of person or particular race, that, oh yeah, we did all of this stuff. And it's like, no, you benefited from the Western slave trade and a monopoly and the fact that the rest of the world was in shambles. While you were, we were relatively untouched. Not you, we. Because I consider myself an American. Yes, I do. Even when I say I hate it here, I would rather not be anywhere else. Well, sometimes. Canada's looking real nice for retirement. It's weird, too, because we've been utilizing nature longer than manufacturing our own shit. And clearly, there was a success rate that proves up to a point that those resources happened to continue the species. You know, because we didn't go extinct. But we take umbrage at certain things that we consider unsanitary. Case in point, Moss diapers. Because I watch a lot on nomadic lifestyles in Russia. And they have Moss diapers for their children. And I would be reading the comments. Why are people so obsessed with criticizing others so much? And they're attacking this person, but they don't understand that that Moss diaper is probably cleaner than the plastic shit we be putting on babies. Because you know what that baby never has to worry about? Diaper rash. Because they have to live a different type of lifestyle. And anything we see that's outside of what we consider the norm is ironic, because the norm really is still newer than what has been the norm. We're in the abnormal times, if you were to put it on a scale of history. I also learned that a bat mitzvah is what they call bar mitzvahs for girls. Going back to another crazy story I heard about this week in high schools, because the children are definitely in need of some assistance that they are not receiving from parents who have checked the fuck out since the pandemic and all of the inciting cultural events that arose from that event. In most schools around the world, February is the month when you embrace and teach Black History Month. However, in Massachusetts, another area where you would think that the Democratic vote would indicate more of a racial tolerance, some students took the class lessons too far. Southwick Regional High School students are accused of holding an online slave auction to bid on their Black classmates.
I am disgusted.
Yes. In the year of 2024, you heard that right. On Tuesday, Superintendent Willard issued a statement that said the district emailed parents on February 12th to inform them of a, quote, highly inappropriate and racist conversation on Snapchat that involves students at Southwick Regional School, end quote. It was said that this was found out by one of the parents when her daughter went on and saw her name up there. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being not only that child, but the mother of that child, the parents of that child, of these children, to know this shit is going on and they find out in the most public of forums? Quote, we can assure the community that the district does issue consequences in accordance with our school code of conduct in these types of circumstances. I think we've gotten past the school code of conduct, don't you think? Conduct. Willard's statement read, quote, as stated in our original email to the community, the district firmly believes that the racism and discrimination have no place in our school community, end quote. There was a quote from the Hampton District's office as well, that they will prosecute any criminal violations vigorously, which I think is something that the superintendent should have also added in his comment. Like, I know that's out of his jurisdiction, but I think being aligned with that would have been preferred if I was one of those parents, you know, listening to him respond, because that's some shit. Like, I don't even know how I would settle down from that. It would take me a minute.
Oh, sweet Jesus, let me kill this nigga.
Because the world cannot get any crazier. In Russia, domestic violence is decriminalized if it doesn't cause hospitalization. They should add the caveat if the police intend to actually prosecute or the whatever, like arrest, and then the district attorney prosecute. Because a lot of Russian men are alcoholics, after I watched this whole documentary, so I'm not just stereotyping. You know, they're constricted into the army. They are unable to support a family on the salaries that they're given. So they end up leaving. More than half of the women in the country are single mothers. This is actually something that Russia is concerned about. The disproportion between female and male, because males in Russia die at such a young age due to alcoholism. And so they want to have these large families. They want to have this marriage, but then they realize that, you know, they've been set up for failure from the beginning, because there's a very short list of haves and have-nots, or haves and a longer list of have-nots. Now, Putin has been incentivizing Russians to have traditional large families with this small bit of financial reward attached. Except in the documentary I watched, when he gave them the family that reward, they all still lived in a one two bedroom apartment. And it was like fucking 7, 8, 9 of them. So there's this idea in Russia right now, doubling down on nationalism. Who else is yelling loud and proud about how nationalist they are right now?
It's political bullshit.
Just like Born in the USA, some people are actually listening to the lyrics, and some people are simply crooning to the chorus because that's the only part that they can understand or want to understand. Lastly, I gotta talk about this documentary I watched. Well, I've watched a couple on the Las Vegas tunnels that provide a lot of insight into the homeless situation. And there's a lot of exploitation with YouTube videos on the topic, and you can tell when they're leading the documentary. So when you are, if you do get into that, because I was watching about San Francisco too and their drug problem, and there's a lot of false, I like to say, documentarians out there that are not trying to, they got an agenda, and it's very clear because they're doing more talking than allowing the documentary to unfold, because you're not supposed to be biased and when you're doing that type of work. It's like, why, you know, writing a certain type of paper, I don't put my opinion in it. But if you want to watch a really, really good documentary, it's on YouTube. It's free. It's Dark Days, about the homelessness in New York City in the 1990s. 90s. It's by Mark Singer. Wonderfully done. It's in black and white, which I think really helps some of the griminess of where they are. You get a good perspective on the type of people and the reasons why they live this type of lifestyle, because a lot of people would attribute it only to drugs. And there are two stoner friends talking about their pets, and it's the best minute 30 seconds of my entire life I've spent with two people I've never met talking about their pets, because it's so real. It's phenomenal. And then you have a woman named Dee who lost her children in a fire. And that's how her life spiraled out of control. So it's very fascinating how they interact with each other, how they build a community. And it humanizes a group of people that we walk by almost every day and don't really give too much about. And I'm not saying that as a criticism. I do it myself. So the other day we were sitting at the light and there was a homeless guy and I gave him a couple of bucks. And my daughter goes, "Oh, that was nice of you." And I was like, because it's not like I do it all the time. It's not like I'm taking on a task or anything. But when you do see them as human beings, that does inspire you to give a couple of bucks here or there. Because even if they're going to take it and spend it on booze, you don't know what their story is. And that is where I'm going to leave it on this Jones Chronicles. If you have any topics of conversation, you like shooting the shit, or you want to hear more specific topics, definitely send me an email. But I did put out a poll. It seems like most people just like when I talk about whatever. So, likeacouch@gmail.com. You can leave a comment below. My social media will be there as well. Like, share, subscribe. Until the next time, peace, hair grease, and blacker magic.